الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولا نذير له ولا مثل له ولا ند له ولا ضد له ولا مثال له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable elders and friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who has blessed each and every one of us amongst many bounties with the valuable gift and bounty of Iman. Our choices, durood, salawat and blessings upon our Master Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayri khalqi kullihimi. Allahumma salli ala sallam alhamdulillah wa ala alihi wa sallam. Honorable brothers, elders and sisters, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has been kind enough to have allowed us, each and every one of us, to in some way or the other associate ourselves with the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Having said that, I want to ask three questions. And at the offset, I want to request that we listen to these questions with an open mind. I don't have the answer, but I would beseech every one of you, our brothers also and our sisters as well, to look deep into your hearts and see if you can find an answer for your own self. Not to share with anybody, but only for yourself, to see how I can work towards my own reformation. As I mentioned, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us this association with deen. Based on that, the first question I want to ask, and I want to ask each and every one of us to ask ourselves the same question, that what deen am I following? Alhamdulillah, we are all reciters of the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. We all have iman. Allah increase us in our iman. Allah make it such that we love with iman. When we leave this world, we leave in a condition of iman. And when Allah resurrects us on the day of Qiyamah, we are each and every one of us, our progeny and our families, are resurrected in a condition of Iman. But having said that, I'm asking the question, what deen am I following? The second question, as a follow-up to the first question, That deen which I am following, how much closer is it bringing me to my Allah? We know we Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in outlining to us the purpose of our creation, and if you put it in a nutshell, it is for us to gain the Qurba Ilahi, for us to gain nearness and closeness to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So I am asking the second question, that deen that I am following, how much closer has it brought me to my Allah? And a follow up to that question is the third question. That deen which I am following, through that deen, of what benefit am I to humankind and to the creation of Allah? So these are three questions I have asked. The first question is, what deen am I following? Having said that we all have iman, alhamdulillah. What deen am I following? The second question, that deen that I am following, how much closer is it bringing me to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? And the third question I want to ask, is that deen that I am following, of what benefit through that deen am I being to the creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to humankind? So having asked these three questions, my respected brothers, I beseech and I request ancestors, each and every one of us, to dig deep in our hearts and ponder. Forget of everything else. Close my eyes and look at my heart. Not now, a little bit later. Close my eyes and look at my heart. And see with sincerity how and what answers I come to for myself. And use that, my respected brothers, as a benchmark. Those answers that I will get for myself, use that as a benchmark, or rather should I say as a springboard, to see how then can I better myself in answering those questions in such a way that will make me feel a better Muslim. Allah Ta'ala give me also the tawfiq, and I request each and every one of you to make dua for me also, for my family also, that Allah Ta'ala make us reach that desired goal which Allah Ta'ala wants to see us at. My respected elders and friends, there are many injunctions and many instructions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us as Muslims, as reciters of the Qur'an al-Kareem, as followers of Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst these instructions, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given us the command of being good, kind and compassionate to our parents. In Surah Bani Israel, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاكَ. Those that understand Arabic grammar, Allah Ta'ala speaks in the past tense, وَقَضَى, that Allah had already taken a decision. There is no decision that you and I need to make in this regard. Allah had already taken that decision. And what is that decision? Allah ta'budu illa iyyah. That no one besides Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala be worshipped. No one besides Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala be worshipped. And second in order of merit to that, which is iman. The worship of Allah is tawheed and iman. Second in order of merit to that, Allah Ta'ala says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that we treat our parents with kindness, with compassion, with love, and we be good to our parents. My respected elders and friends, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making reference to this aspect in a very beautiful way, sums it up. In a very beautiful way, sums it up. Wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, رِضَى الرَّبْ فِي رِضَى الْوَالِدِ وَسَخَطُ الرَّبْ فِي سَخَطِ الْوَالِدِ. Listening to this hadith should make our hair stand on ends. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the happiness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the happiness and the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on any particular individual is based on the happiness that that father has with the child. Ridha al-Rabb fi ridha al-Walid. The happiness of Allah is in the happiness of the father. وَسَخَطَ الرَّبْ فِي سَخَطِ الْوَالِدِ. And the anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will envelop a person with whom the father of the person is angry. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my respected brothers and sisters, in such a beautiful way highlights to us the important role that parents play in our lives and the respect, the dignity, the honor and the reverence that each and every one of us owe to our parents. That is why, on one occasion, a person performed Hajj and he came all the way from Yemen. All the way from Yemen to perform Hajj with his mother. With his mother. Something to the closest effect, it is mentioned that he performed all the rituals of Hajj from Yemen. He left from Yemen and came to Makkah Mukarramah. And in Makkah Mukarramah, he performed the 5 days and all the rituals of Hajj. From Mina to Arafat to Muzdalifah, back to Mina. The 5 days of Hajj he performed with his mother on his back. With his mother on his back. And after doing all of that, what great khidmah, what great service did he not do to his mother? After doing all of that, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, O Nabi of Allah, this is what I have done for my mother. Have I fulfilled the rights of my mother? And what does Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? To the nearest effect, that forget fulfilling the rights of your mother. After doing all that you have done for your mother, you have not even fulfilled the right of the first drop of milk you had from the breast of your mother. My respected brothers, parents are no joke. And by no means does this Sharia and this deen give you and I the license to look down upon our parents in any possible way. That is why in the Quran Kareem Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even sigh at them. Don't even use that word uff. Oh, oh man. Not even that against our parents. Because this is the honor and the dignity which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given to parents. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given this kind of honor and this kind of respect and this kind of dignity to parents, then my respected elders and friends, you and I need to show that same respect and that same dignity and that same reverence to parents and to our parents. What have our parents not done for us? One alim so beautifully says that whatever we do in life and whatever success we enjoy in life, whatever success we enjoy in life, it is only through the blessings and the du'as of our parents. How then is it possible that we don't find the time for our parents? How then is it possible that we make ourselves worthy of the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because we cannot find the time and the space to respect our parents. Especially mothers. Especially mothers who become abused by children in society. And that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has highlighted this importance of parents to such an extent. The importance of parents to such an extent. That a person wanted to go out for the protection of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he sought permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found out and asked him if his mother was alive, and he replied that his mother was alive, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, it is more important for you to remain in the khidmah and the service of your mother than for you to go out for the protection of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, it is mentioned in the books of tariq and history that Musa ala nabiyina wa salatu wa taslim. Musa ala nabiyina wa salatu wa taslim was given some sort of information. That his companion in Jannah will be a butcher man. A man who works with meat. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to know that what is so special about that person? What is so special about that person? That he is a butcher, but yet he will be my companion. So he goes out in search of this person. And eventually he identifies and he finds this person. And he requests this person that I want to reside at your home. Not telling him anything else. His whole idea was to spy on him. That what good is he doing? What good is he doing that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has elevated his creature so much? So he goes. He goes home, he makes ikram, and he puts Musa alayhi salam to bed. And then he goes and he starts doing his home chores. Musa alayhi salam is peeping at him. He takes out something from his bag that he brought from the workplace. It's a piece of meat. He washes it, he cleans it, he cooks it. And then he goes into another room. And in that room, there's an old lady on the bed. He lifts her up because she cannot support herself. He puts her to sit on his lap and he feeds her. And then he puts her down. And when he puts her down, she says something to him. So Musa alayhi salam could not hear that. Next morning, he gets ready to go to his workplace. Musa alayhi salam tells him, listen here, brother, I saw something last night, I want to ask you about it. I saw what you did. What is it? So he explains that that is my mother. She is weak. She can't do anything for herself. So this is my daily ritual. I come home, I go and make a living. When I come home, I prepare food. I have to support her, I have to pick her up, I feed her, and then I put her back. So Musa says, I know that. But she said something to me. I want to know what she said. So as humble as this person was, I said, nothing for you to worry. Old woman, you know. Old woman. Talk too much. That's all they know how to do. They don't know what they talk. So don't worry. But Musa alayhi salam insists. But I'm not going to leave you till you give me that story, what she says to you. So eventually, that person, he gives in. And he says to Musa ala nabiyina wa salatu wa taslim, not knowing that this was Musa alayhi salam, by the way, that every day this is what I do. And every day when I put her down, she makes one dua for me. May Allah make you the companion of Musa in Jannah. Respected brothers, understand the power of the dua of the mother. And don't ask her to make dua. Take her duas. Don't take her curses. Don't ever take her curses. Because that also Allah will hear. That also Allah will hear. Respect her. Honor her. Put on a pedestal. Because that is what she deserves. What she did for us, nobody will be able to do. Nobody will be able to do. That same mother who we will abuse, and Allah forbid that that ever happens, but that same mother will go and sit on a musalla and cry for that child. That same mother. Allah has just put that kind of natural love in the heart of the mother. Not for you and I to take advantage of. Not for you and I to take advantage of. We know that famous incident, my respected brothers, of those three people that were traveling in the Bani Israel. An unpleasant weather appeared while they were on travel. Inclement weather. And they sought refuge in a cave. And the dream of Allah was such that a boulder fell right in front of the mouth of the cave. As a result of which, they had no access out of the cave. And after mashwara among themselves, they decided that they will make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, begging Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to remove that boulder. And in making dua, they will mention in their dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one such good action that they did and they think was pleasing to Allah. So three of them made dua. The one made dua of regarding an employee, that I had an employee and he worked for me and eventually he left, but he didn't give him his wages. So whatever his wages was, I invested it. And eventually he came back, and when I gave him his wages and I told him it was an employee of flock of sheep and animals and livestock, and he was surprised and shocked. So Allah Ta'ala removed the boulder a little bit. The other one told Allah Ta'ala, made dua that I had a cousin, she was very beautiful but very poor, and I had a lot of money and I wanted to fulfill my desires with her. And she asked me to borrow some money and I gave her the money on condition that she fulfills my desire for me. And because of her desire for that wealth, she initially agreed. And as I mounted, and she told me, اتَّقِلَّا وَلَا تَفُضُّ الْخَاتَمْ فِي اللَّهِ, don't break the seal. And immediately I got off and I gave her the money and I didn't even take it back without fulfilling my desires. Allah removed the boulder. And the third person, his dua was made through the means of an incident with his parents. That, Ya Allah, I had a family also, and my parents were aged also. I had to look after my family also, and I had to look after my aged parents also. And every day my routine would be that I would go out to work, I would come back with some cow's milk or whatever it was, and I would feed it to my parents. On this particular day when I came back, my family was also hungry, my wife was also hungry, children also hungry. But I needed to see to the needs of my parents first, and when I got there, my parents were asleep. I stood there the entire night waiting for them to wake up so I could give them their meal first before I could see them out there. Allah removed the boulder and were given freedom. My respected elders, all these stories are not fairy tales. The stories are not fairy tales. All these stories, my respected brothers, are for you and I to take lesson from. That Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had given us the facility of parents. It is up to us and our responsibility to see to it how we can benefit from our parents, benefit through our parents. How we can benefit through our parents. And that is very, very important. In fact, we talk of the merits of the 15th night of Sha'ban, and mashallah, Sheikh Shabir, I believe over the last few mornings, has been highlighting this aspect and the merits and the importance of the night of the 15th of Sha'ban. But given all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Mubarak tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, draws our attention to the fact that even on a night of such magnanimity, there are seven categories of people whose ibadat will be suspended. We are not saying will not be accepted. Whose ibadat will be suspended until they avert from their wrong. Among those seven groups, I don't want to go into so much of details, but among those seven groups, one such group are those that are disrespectful to their parents, those that are abusive to their parents. Even if that abuse is in the heart, even if that abuse is only in the heart, it hasn't been enacted, it hasn't been carried out. So we can see, my respected elders and friends, there are so many things that draws our attention to this fact of the importance of parents. The second aspect that I want to discuss very quickly tonight is that the 15th night of Sha'ban is a night for ibadat, a little bit. If we can't, and in our weakness, do the whole night, don't make zulm on ourselves and oppress ourselves. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had, through the Mubarak tongue of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and many ahadith, the merit of this night we cannot deny. And that's it, that's where it stops. That's where it stops. So we should find some time, or try to find some time, to make a little bit of ibadah. Cry to Allah, make dua to Allah, make extra two rakat nafal salah. Make dua to Allah, make some tilawat of Quran, make some zikrullah, whatever it is. Or the least we can do is stay away from doing anything wrong and going directly to bed. With that intention that Ya Allah will get up for Fajr Salah and perform a Fajr Salah in congregation in the Masjid of Jama'at. But as a means of tarzeeb, motivation. I want to narrate one story to you. One of the brothers told me this morning about a lot of stories. I want to narrate one story to you. Back in the day, just one more incident I want to tell you about parents. Something just hit my memory now. One more incident I want to tell you about parents. We know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived the life of an orphan. His father passed away even before he was born. And his mother passed away in a unique way. To understand this incident, just very briefly, the history of the death of his mother. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with his mother to Medina Munawwara to visit some relatives. And on return, she took ill. And she passed away at a place known as Abwa. At a place known as Abwa. So keeping that in mind, understand what I'm trying to say. After Nabuwat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going from Medina Munawwara, Zadah Allahu Sharfun Mukarrama, and going towards Makkah Mukarrama. And en route, he stopped at that place, Abwa. He stopped at that place, Abwa, where his mother is buried. Amina radiallahu anha. And when he stopped at the place Abwa, according to some narrations, some historians have written, there's no hadith to prove it, I don't have any authenticity, but according to what some historians have written, that he stopped at the particular place by the gravesite of his mother, and he sat there with his legs up, you know, the knees up, and he put his head on his knees and he cried. And crying, what was he saying? If only I had the opportunity to make khidmat of my mother. If only I had the opportunity to make khidmat of my mother. The lesson is for you and I. That if we have that opportunity, then we grab the opportunity. And if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's decree was and is that our parents are marhum, then we should never forget to make dua for them and send the salih dua for them. It is a right that we owe to them. It is a haq that we owe to them. To make dua for them. Not only on the day of Eid. Not only on the day of Eid. Or not only when someone else passes away, then I think of my parents. But continuously, every day. In fact, not a day should go by and I don't make dua for my marhum parents. So nevertheless, my respected elders and friends, back in the day there was a person by the name of Abu Qudama. He gave his life for the protection of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he used to go from town to town encouraging people to give their lives in the protection of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in one particular place when he gave that tarzeeb, in the deep hours of the night, someone knocked on his place of residence where he was staying. And surprised at this hour of the night, who is going to come and who is going to trouble me? When he opened the door, he found that it was a lady there. And she just gave him a parcel. And she told him that I cannot help you in your cause, being a female, but yeah, I'm giving you something, please use this. You can possibly use it to tie your horses or whatever, and use it, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will make a decision of my jannah also. And she left. I'm not going to tell you what that was, but I don't want to open up another door here. But this is a true incident that happened. She left. The next morning, as he was preparing to go out for the protection of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from a distance, he saw a horseman rushing. Wait, wait, I want to join. And when that horseman came, his face was covered. So Abu Qudama had a lot of conditions. If anybody was to join him in his efforts to protect Allah's deen. So he insisted that he wanted to know who that person was. But that person refused to unveil himself. Eventually he got himself unveiled. And he was a young, approximately 17-year-old boy. So Abu Qudama told him, you can't join us. You're too young. You will not manage. And this boy cried. This boy, young boy, cried. Are you telling me to sacrifice Jannat? He cried. Today's young boys, if we have to tell them to do some good and leave their homes for a few hours or a few days to do a work for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they shy away from it. This young boy is saying, are you asking me to sacrifice Jannat? So nevertheless, upon his persistence, he was given permission. But Abu Qudama told him that I don't want you to go in the front line. I want you to remain in the back, lest you suffer severe harm. But nevertheless, this boy went into the thick of things and he became shaheed. He became shaheed. But as he was leaving this world, Abu Qudama was looking for him. Eventually he heard a sound and he rushed to the direction of the sound and he found this boy. And this boy told him few things. That Abu Qudama, I'm going to leave this world, but I want you to go and find my mother and tell my mother I have fulfilled her last desire. But en route you will see my sister also. She's a very young girl. Please don't tell her about me. Because I'm scared that she's going to become very distressed if she hears that I have left this world. And having said that, the boy's ruh was taken out and he left the world as a shaheed. So nevertheless, Abu Qudama went in search of his mother, asking people. And as he went into the town, there was a young girl standing at the entrance, asking everybody, where's my brother, where's my brother, where's my brother? Not knowing. So all of them were just ignoring. All of them were ignoring. So nevertheless, responding and she's not getting any news. Everybody has come back, but she hasn't seen her brother. She goes home. When eventually, through some homework, I'm just cutting the story very short, Abu Qudama finds out that where the home of this boy was. And when he goes there, to his astonishment, the woman that opens the door, first the children came, the young girl, so he says that he wants to see the mother. When the mother came, he was shocked to see that it was the same woman that knocked on his door to give him that small parcel that day, but night. So anyway, he gave her the news. He gave her the news. And that woman showed gratitude to Allah. She showed gratitude to Allah. That this is the fourth male in my life who has given his life for the deen of Allah. And I have hope that through their means, Allah Ta'ala will use me and take me also into Jannah. I lost a father. I lost a brother. I lost a son and I lost a husband, all in the path of Allah. Then when Abu Qudama gave her the news, this young girl heard from the inside. And hearing that, the young girl gave a loud scream and out of shock, she also fell down dead. The crux of the story is, my respected brothers, that young boy's desire for Jannah, that young boy's desire for Jannah drove him to do what he did and gave his life for the deen of Allah. Gave his life for the deen of Allah. We need to ask ourselves that no one is asking us to give our lives for the deen of Allah. But all we are asked by Allah and His Rasul is to give two things. One is the ita'at of Allah and one is the ita'at of Rasulullah. The obedience of Allah and the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And through this, my respected elders and friends, have that desire that we have. I don't think there's one individual in this gathering that can stand up and say he doesn't want Jannah. We all want to go to Jannah. But Jannah comes at a price. Ala inna sil'ata Allah al-ghaliya. Ala inna sil'ata Allah al-jannah. That Allah has put a price there for it. It's not going to come so easy. And in very simple terms, that price tag, my respected brothers and sisters, is to have the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in conclusion, I come back to my three questions. I am not going to answer it. I come back to those three questions. Having heard everything that I said, I repeat those questions. That what deen am I following? That deen that I am following, how close is it taking me to my Allah? And that deen that I am following, through that deen, of what benefit am I to humankind? And when I talk of benefit to humankind, of what benefit am I to the akhirat of humankind? What benefit am I giving to humankind in service also, and trying to join them and link them also with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give each and every one of us the tawfiq to understand our purpose of creation. Allah subhanahu give us the tawfiq to understand that verse of the Quran. Wherein Allah says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Anybody chooses any other deen other than Islam. What is Islam? Islam means to be subservient. Islam means to be subservient. Subservient to who? And to what? Comes back to the ita'at of Allah and the ita'at of Rasulullah. Subservient to the injunctions and the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that was shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is deen. There is no other deen. There is no other deen. So let anybody seeks any other deen and sought goes after any other deen besides Islam, then that will not be accepted from you. So leaving you with that, my respected elders and friends, we make dua that Allah Ta'ala give us the topic of understanding what our purpose of creation is. What our priorities in life should be. Nobody is saying we should not make a living. And we should not, in fact, that is part of our compulsion. That is part of our compulsion. That to serve and to make a living and earn halal sustenance, Allah Ta'ala has made it compulsory upon us. But should that then deter us from our actual responsibilities? If so, then we need to do some soul searching and see how we can rectify that. While Allah Ta'ala has given us the time. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq also. Allah Ta'ala give me first the tawfiq to make amal, to understand that what I am saying is for myself also. It's not for me to sit here and think that I can speak and I can tell everybody anything else and everything else, and I can sit like a big thing and I think that I've done my job. I've not done my responsibility. If I am speaking and I am not doing, then I have failed myself. If I am speaking and I am not doing, then I have failed myself. That is why I request all of you to make dua for me also and make dua for my family also. Respected brothers, in conclusion, Alhamdulillah, with the grace and the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have spent 2 weeks here in Australia. Allah Ta'ala brought us from South Africa with the sole purpose of seeing how we could benefit from also and share ideas in as far as ta'lim and education of Islam and deen is concerned. We spent time here in Perth also. Bulk of our time was spent here in Western Australia in Perth also. Allah Ta'ala has taken us and given us opportunity to spend some time in Melbourne as well, and to spend some time in Brisbane as well. We've been conducting workshops and meeting with Asatiza and Ulama and Mu'allimeen and Mu'allimat, and sharing ideas with them and learning from them also. We humbly ask you to make a humble dua that Allah Ta'ala accept us for whatever we have done. For we could have traveled all those thousands of miles, and if what we did was not accepted by Allah, then those thousands of miles also are wasted. So we beg you, my respected brothers, remember us in your du'as, remember our country in your du'as also. And that's what we are trying to do. Allah Ta'ala unite our hearts, and Allah Ta'ala make us do it only for the benefit of His deen. And together with that, on behalf of my Amir, Maulana Ayyub Kachwi, my senior Haji Ismail, and myself, I just want to say one or two things. One is, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. Those who cannot be grateful to people are not grateful to Allah. So we want to express our gratitude to the brothers and sisters of this community specifically. Really, you have opened your hearts to us. Opened your homes to us, you have opened your hearts to us. The manner in which you had received us, even if you don't know us, but the love and the mahabbat with which you received us, wallahi, it really touches our hearts. We thank you and we say Jazakumullahu khair, and your reward is only with Allah. Your reward is only with Allah. And we ask you, my respected brothers, that we have come here on a mission. We have spoken to the shuyukh and the ulamaya and given them and shared with them ideas and taken ideas from them also. We ask you that alhamdulillah, this very masjid, we should be grateful to Allah that Allah Ta'ala had given us a structure like this. Allah reward everyone and every such person who was instrumental in making the structure possible through the will of Allah. Support these people. This masjid and the program that are taking place in this masjid, I must tell you, and I'm not saying it because some of them are sitting here, I'm saying it with all sincerity, and Allah is the judge. The shuyukh and the muallimeen and the ulama that you have here are very great caliber. They have great qualities. It will only be our loss if we don't benefit from them. There is a lot that they are doing for this community, for this locality. Benefit from it. However, in whichever way, the sisters also, they are taking care of the needs of the sisters as well. They are having weekly programs for the sisters. There are adult classes taking place for sisters as well, for males as well. Let us see how we can join in this. Give them encouragement. Wallahi, by our participation, it is only encouragement for them. Then the maktab that is taking place here, let us bring our children. See it that our children participate in the maktab program and be part of that program and learn from that program and benefit from that program. It will only be to our own benefit. We were mentioning to the parents in Brisbane when we had a special sitting with parents, and we were saying to the parents that there is so much of benefit in that, that we will send our children to the maktab. They will learn and they will come home. We encourage parents, sit with your children. Don't teach them. The teaching is taking place here in the maktab. Because if you're going to try teaching them, and the muallimeen and the muallimat are also teaching them, you could confuse them. Don't teach them. But help them revise their work. Ask them what they learned. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. In Melbourne, one brother told me, In Brisbane, one brother told us. He says, Sheikh, you know, my children are going to the maktab, and I'm so grateful for that. That when they come home, I sit with them. And only when I sit with them, I realize that I am reading Quran incorrectly. So now I am making an effort to go to the same teacher of my children to correct my own Quran. And many of us, how many of us are sitting here that could have that same experience? One person back in South Africa was telling us that my children came home and they were so excited that they did practical wudu. So they showed us at home how to do practical wudu. And only then did we realize that for so many years we're making wudu incorrectly. So our children coming to the maktab, it is benefit for us also. So support the system. Sit with our children. Give support to the mu'allimeen and the mu'allimat that are here. And sit with those children. Revise with those children. And see to it that this is given priority. I mentioned this the last time I spoke to you also, and I'm repeating. This becomes their priority. Yes, they have to go to school also and learn worldly sciences. They have to do that. It's important for them to do that also. But when it comes to the afternoon classes or the evening classes, make sure that they are here for that also. We'll try that, inshallah. And once again, my respected brothers, on behalf of my colleagues, I don't know how much we can thank you people. I don't know how much we can thank this community. We can't do justice in thanking you, but our dua is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you from strength to strength. Allah ta'ala make this, and it is our desire and our hope and our dua, and we'll go home making this dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this particular masjid the markaz and the beacon of light throughout Australia and throughout the world, inshallah. The benefit of deen will spread. But that will happen if we start giving support to the structures that we have in place. The month of Ramadan is coming also. We request you to make dua for us. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ